God's word for you, Zechariah 10, verses 1 to 5, starting with verse 1. Ask the Lord for rain in the season of the spring rains. Ask the Lord who makes the storm clouds, and he will give them rain showers and crops in the field for everyone. This seems like it's about the blessings of rain, but it's really about the gospel. In Matthew 9, Jesus compares the entrance of souls into God's kingdom with a harvest. And here Zechariah understands the working of the kingdom in the same way. Our focus must be on God working, on God who makes all of these things possible. The other benefit of using rain and growing fields into a picture of the growing kingdom of God is that we'll think of it when it rains, just as we are meant to think about the covenant God made with Noah when we see a rainbow. Verse 2. As for the household gods, they speak wickedness, and those who read omens see only lies. They tell worthless dreams and give empty comfort. Therefore, the people wander like sheep, oppressed for lack of a shepherd. Household gods here is teraphim in Hebrew, a word we also find in Genesis in the story of Rachel stealing these little Barbie doll-sized statues from her father Laban in Genesis 31. There is another account in the book of Judges in which the grandson of Moses becomes a pagan priest for the Danites using these household gods as well, Judges 18. There are hideous reports about ancient opinions about these idols, and if somebody wants to read about them, Luther resigns himself to reporting some of the history in his commentary on Genesis, that's in the sixth volume. And maybe it would be worth a trip to your pastor's private library if you have a strong stomach, and stand warned by me that it may give you nightmares. However, those are just opinions, and I agree with Luther and others that these statues were really just images left over from pagan times, and Laban and others believed in them. There are times when the devil and Christ are allowed to reside side by side in the same home. This is hard in a family, such as, for example, when someone is obsessed with their horoscope and becomes frightened by the stars, which God did not give to predict the future, but only to be a calendar, according to the Holy Spirit, and to give a little light. When Zechariah says that they speak nonsense, he doesn't mean that the teraphim, the gods, could ever actually say anything, since they don't exist and are not alive. But anyone who claims to have a message from an idol has either wickedness in mind or complete nonsense, and confusion and false doctrines are two of the aims of the demons, the devil's goblins who never appear with him, either because they fear him or act on their own or both. There is a structure to the devil's dominion of darkness, as Paul calls it in Colossians 1. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a dominion. But since the devil loves chaos and despises order, justice, logic, and anything that makes sense to reason, we can't understand what the structure of his dominion might be, apart from fear. Those who turn to false gods, the stars, or other things for comfort, have only empty comfort, as uncertain as the almanac's predictions for rain and snow. They are a sheep without a shepherd. That was a saying Isaiah also used in Isaiah 13, but both prophets got it from Moses, who prayed, this is Numbers 27, that God's people would never be left like sheep without a shepherd, a prayer which led to the appointment of Joshua as the successor of Moses. And both of them, Joshua and Moses, are still seen as types or images of the coming Christ. Verses 3 to 5. My anger burns against those shepherds, and I will punish those goats. For the Lord of hosts cares for his flock, the house of Judah, and he makes them like a proud horse in battle. From him shall come the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler united. They will be like heroes in battle, trampling the foe in the muddy streets. They will fight because the Lord is with them, and they will put the horsemen to shame. Here's a whole flurry of statements about the Savior coming from the tribe of Judah. He will punish the false teachers who led people away from the comfort of their salvation and towards some other path. And all other paths lead to destruction. In our times, this includes those bishops and other leaders of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America who have been so brash as to force their poor churches to accept that other religions have a valid path to eternal life without Christ, without the Father's word, without faith from the Holy Spirit, and therefore sinning and blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. They have followed after the popes in this, and it's a hideous satanic message that can only, I use the word precisely, only lead people to hell. God calls them goats in the second line of the verse, and Atud is a he-goat, as in Genesis 31 and Numbers 7, that figuratively stands here for a useless leader who doesn't care about his flock, but about his own ideas and desires. He fleeces his flock, but he doesn't feed it. Christ will also promote and honor those who have been honest under-shepherds and have done their work humbly in his name. The Lord is also called the cornerstone, as he is in Isaiah 28, the perfect stone upon which the church is built according to his own perfection. He is the tent peg, Isaiah 22, upon which the whole church hangs like a hat, so that as long as he stands, the church stands, but without him the church would fall, and he will never fall. He is the battle bow, drawn and aimed, and every leader in his kingdom gets their authority from him. In him, we are united. From here, the image changes to trampling the opponents underfoot and defeating terrifying horsemen in battle, putting them to shame. But every victory is the Lord's win. Every battle won is the Lord's private campaign. Every soul won for heaven belongs to Christ forever. Here are law and gospel in clear terms. These verses illustrate the simple statement of Mark 16:16, whoever believes will be saved, whoever does not believe will be damned. The punishment of unbelievers is clear, and it will be eternal without end. The forgiveness offered to all mankind is also clear. It is without cost, without strings attached. Faith in Christ, who won and grants our forgiveness, means everlasting life in the resurrection of the dead. We will live with him forever because he has had mercy on us. Put your trust in him and in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to anyone through whom we can be saved. We owe him glory, fear, and awe. We thank him for his royal law. So love your neighbor in his need and run from partiality. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's based on My Hope is Built on Nothing Left, of course. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you.